And this, the lesson tonight about Elijah and the king at that time was King Ahab. Ahab was reigning over Israel at this time. And his wife, do you remember who Ahab's wife was? Jezebel. And she's one of the most evil queens, I guess she was a queen since he was a king, that has ever been, seemed like. And they all worship idols at that time. They worshiped the idol of Baal and the idols of Asheroth, A-S-H-E-R-A-H, Asheroth. And chapter 17 of 1 Kings is where we're going to start tonight. 1 Kings 17 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went," talking about Elijah, "he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he had stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." So even this brook that flowed into the river Jordan dried up. And this next section, beginning in verse 8, talks about Elijah and the widow. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So Elijah goes down to this place, and he finds this widow there. And he tells this widow, says, "Please bring me a cup of water that I may drink." And I also told her to bring a morsel of bread. And she told him, says, "Well, I only have one bin of flour left and one little jar of oil is all I got. And I'm fixing to prepare that for me and my family, me and my son, and after that, we're just going to die." So they apparently was in real bad condition of being without food and water because of the great drought. But she said, "As you say, I'll go and fix you some bread and water." So she did, and it says that bin of flour, after she had already cooked it, and the oil, it was the same, stayed the same. So Elijah came into her house, and I don't think it says how long he stayed there, but said as long as he stayed there, she cooked him bread and gave him water, but the bin of flour was still the same every time. The same was in the jar of oil the same time. It stayed the same no matter how much she used. Going down to verse 17. "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left him in." So it seems that the younger son had died. "So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you came to me to bring my sin to remembrance?' and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her hand, out of her arms, and carried him up to the upper room where he was staying, and lay him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is the truth. A real emotional thing right here for the son of this woman that had been providing for Elijah died. And Elijah took him and prayed to God, and through God's help, the son was revived. Any questions or comments on anything? Feel free to make any comment or ask any questions if you have any. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Okay, chapter 18 says Elijah's message to Ahab. Now, Ahab had 400 prophets, the prophets of Baal. And they worshiped Baal. And Elijah said, well, let's just have this test, do this test and see who's really God. And so Elijah told them to build this altar. And each one of them built an altar. And they gave these 400 prophets of Baal a bull. They told him to slay that bull and put him on the altar, and then call on your God, your gods, to come down and with fire and burn that sacrifice up. So these prophets of Baal, they went and built their altar and slayed the bull and put him on the altar. And they began to call on their gods, their idols that they were worshiping. And it said, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. And they leaped about the altar and they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry out louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he may be on a journey, or perhaps he's even sleeping and must be awakened. Verse 28, so they cried louder and cut themselves with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. So it seemed like that was one of the things that the idol worshiper would do sometimes, is they had even cut themselves during their worship. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice and no answer, and no one paid attention. And beginning in verse 30, Elijah builds his altar, and he slays the bull and puts the bull upon the altar. And he tells them there, he dug a trench around the altar, and he told the people there, says, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Then he said a second time, do it again. Put more water on it. And he told them a third time, put more water on it. So verse 35, so the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord God, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. So all these prophets of Baal were executed there by Elijah. Beginning in verse 41, this last part of chapter 18 here, says the drought ends. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. So Elijah sent his servant seven times to go look at the sea. But he said each time he didn't see anything. In verse 44, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stop you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So the drought had ended there after Elijah had slain all of these false prophets, these prophets of Baal. And chapter 19 tells how that Elijah escapes from Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger out to Elijah. So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself, talking about Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father. Then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by the head was a cake of bread baked on coals, and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank. So he went out in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. Now here is another great miracle, isn't it? Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights without eating and drinking, it seems. Who else did that? Jesus wasn't. When he was sent out in the wilderness and tempted by the devil, went without food and water. And that's the only way that he could live. It was a miracle of God. Because we can't, our physical bodies can't go 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. In fact, I don't think the body can probably go a week without water. And beginning in verse 11 of chapter 19, God's revelation to Elijah. You know, Elijah is really in a downhearted position now, in a sad condition. He thinks he's the only one left that's serving God. But God appears to Elijah, and he says, in the cave, and God asks Elijah, says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous," verse 14, "very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nisha, as king over Israel, and Elijah, the son of Shaphat, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth has not kissed him." So Elijah wasn't the only one that was still faithful to God, was he? God said, "I've still got 7,000 people here that's being faithful to me and haven't bowed to the Baal." And the last part of chapter 19, beginning in verse 19, tells how that Elijah comes and calls Elisha to follow him. And it says Elisha was out in the field plowing, and he had 12 yokes of oxen pulling his plow. And Elisha says, "You come follow me." He says, "Well, I need to go back and tell to kiss my father and mother, and then I'll follow you." And said after he'd done that, he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Any questions or comments on anything? This next chapter, 20 of Kings, tells how that Ahab defeats the Syrians. And going right down to verse 23 of of chapter 20, as the Syrians are again defeated. In verse 31, Ahab here, his servant said to him, "Look now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us put sackcloths around our waists and ropes around our heads, and he go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life." So they wore sackcloths around their waist and put robes on their head and came to the king of Israel and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad says, 'Please let me live.'" And he said, "Is he still alive?" "And he is my brother." Now the men were watching closely to see whether any sign of mercy would come to them. And he told them, says, "Your brother Ben-Hab, go bring him here." Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, that he had came down up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said to him, "The cities which my father took from your father, I will restore, and you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, as my father did in Samaria." Then Ahab said, "I will send you away with this treaty." So he made a treaty with him and sent him away. And beginning in verse 35, it says Ahab is condemned. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophet said to his neighbor, "By the word of the Lord, strike me, please." And the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, surely as soon as you part from me, a lion shall kill you." And as soon as he left him, a lion found him and killed him. And he found another man and said, "Strike me, please." So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet departed and waited for the king by the road and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. Now as the king passed by, he cried out to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and there a man came and came over and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' While your servant was busy there, here and there, he was gone. Then the king of Israel said to him, 'So shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it.' And he hastened to take the bandage away from his eyes. The king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. And he said, 'Thus saith the Lord, because you have let slip out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and the people for his people.' So the king of Israel went to his house sullen and displeased and came to Samaria." And in chapter 21 it says, Naboth is murdered for his vineyard. King Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because in this year and next to my house." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid that I should give you inheritance of my father to you." So Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word that Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, "Why is your spirit sullen and that you eat no food?" And he said, "Because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I will give you another vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, 'You now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters to Ahab in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the elders and nobles who were dwelling in the city of Naboth. She wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people, and seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him that he may die. So the men went out and proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with the high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him. And the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. So it was, when Ahab heard this Naboth was dead, and Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Well, that was a pretty cruel thing to do to your neighbor, wasn't it? Just asked him for his garden, and he told him, oh, this is the garden of my father. I can't give it to you. And it made Ahab so mad that he just wouldn't eat. He just sold up. And Jezebel, his wife, said, you come on and eat. I'll take care of it. So she come up with this plan that Naboth would blaspheme God, as the scoundrels had said. And they took him out and stoned him to death. In the last part of chapter 21 of 1 Kings, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. So Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your prosperity and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bound and free. In verse 22, I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Bashu, the son of Ajah, because of the provocation which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. So God's going to bring vengeance upon Ahab and his wife Jezebel for what they had done. So it was so when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house. So here, it seems that Ahab had a change of heart, a change of mind. And God said that because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring this calamity in his days, but in the days of his son. And I think we'll stop right there and begin with chapter 22, the Lord willing, next week. Thank you very much.